will perish. And so will we. Unless we set Godzilla free.
Oh yeah, sure. Let's bring him in for a beer.
No, this time we join the fight.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon, sponsored by Boosted. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Sonny Bunch and Jonathan V. Last. I'd like to remind you the Subbeacon is available on iTunes and Google Play. Just like on a podcast, search for Subbeacon, you'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. Not to make this a regular thing, but I did read a recent review by a listener who goes by the name of Benito Blanco. Do you get the reference, Sonny, JVL?
Benito.
Benny Blanco from the Bronx, perhaps. Carlito's Way. It's Carlito's Way.
Oh.
Yeah. John Leguizamo, who said, he said in part just a short
This is one of your high school
excerpt,
friends, isn't it?
No, it's not. Excerpt here. He says, I started listening to this show right around when I started law school, and I'm not sure I could have gotten through my first year without Sonny, Vic, JVL, and Gene. Five stars.
Hey, that's nice.
Hey.
We're out here. We're out here saving lives.
I hope he represents us pro bono in our defamation suit.
I'm sure we'll have some coming.
Yes. You know, actually, my friend Stevie Steris has an uncle named Carlito, and I was always trying to ask him to get him to ask a question so I could say.
Well, that's just Carlito's.
Yeah, and I would say it in the voice. Am I allowed to do the voice? Can I do it with the voice? I can't do the voice.
You know what? We're about to do a whole episode about Gojira, so you can do the Carlito's Way
Carlito,
voice.
Carlito, man.
We should do it from Hokkaido.
From the Hokkaido buffet. Anyway, okay, gentlemen, how are we? JVL, what's going on?
Well, I have had a minor bump in my life, and I would like to share it with you.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So you will remember that Big Brick had won a suit in China against the fine entrepreneurs of the Leppin Corporation. The Leppin Group.
Mm-hmm. Big Brick being the Lego Corporation.
Yes, the Lego Group. And when news of this hit, because the bent cops in China went and seized, I don't know, like a lot of Leppin bricks from the factories. And the minute this popped over the wire services, I jumped onto eBay and placed a couple orders, because I figured some of them had already made it out into the distribution pipeline to the secondary market sellers, and that I could go ahead and grab it. And so I ordered for myself the Leppin Wizard World Castle Fort, which...
What is the Leppin Wizard World? Where is that?
So it's a large castle fort, which is a school for young wizards.
Oh, really?
And I was very excited, but the truth is I wasn't sure it was ever going to get here, because sometimes on eBay, you may not know this, people will post to sell items that they don't actually have.
What?
I know. And so I was rolling the dice, saying that hopefully this person actually has the Leppin set. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I have the same problem on Craigslist.
Question. Question. Is it an arbitrage thing where somebody will put a Leppin thing on like American eBay, hoping that somebody will pay more than whatever the shelf cost in China is?
No.
Are you talking about just like straight up theft? Like people saying like, I have this.
No, people saying I have this and they don't have it. They think they can get it, but they don't want to go to the trouble of acquiring it
until there's an offer,
placing it in inventory until somebody has.
Yeah,
they want just in time delivery essentially.
Okay.
I came home the other day and there were two gigantic packages, each weighing about 15 pounds. And when I opened it up, I found that I had not gotten what I ordered. I had ordered the Leppin Wizard World Castle Fort, and instead, I got the Justice Magician Castle Fort. Which you will remember from K.L. Rowding's series, Justice Magician.
Justice Magician.
I love Justice Magician.
One of my favorite young adult fantasy series. Anyway, it's tremendous. And, you know,
The Chalice of Fire was very interesting.
I am not going to complain. I'm going to be perfectly happy with my Justice Magician Castle Fort. And I cannot wait to build it. There is a Bumble Boar minifig.
Oh.
who's got like a long gray beard and a wizard hat.
Kind of like Gandalf.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit like him.
Like a knockoff Gandalf.
Well, he's essentially a knockoff Gandalf. Okay. Anyway, it's great. How are you boys?
I'm doing fine, Sonny. People have been demanding. Listeners have been demanding.
You got a haircut, Sonny.
I should. Well, there we go. Haircut and a shoe shine update. But haircut first. That's the first thing I noticed.
How's your new friend?
How's my new friend? Shoeshine update. I don't have a shoeshine update because I basically have just been using the leather lotion on the shoes for the last
few months. Puts the lotion
months.
In the basket.
Because it's really fine. A whole process, and it's been okay. I need to do a proper shine, but that's all I got for that. Right. I did get a haircut, and it's funny. So last week, or maybe the week before that, I had mentioned that my hairdresser had died, the person I'd been seeing for like 13 years. So I went to a barbershop in Alexandria somewhere. And got a haircut, and it was very awkward because it was like explaining how to get what I want done to my hair is very hard because I haven't had to do that in a very long time. So the lady was like, "Do you want what level should the shears be?" And I'm like, "I don't know what that means. I don't understand what you're saying." So it was
74.
It was weird. It was awkward. But it turned out okay, I think.
Did you learn all about her life?
No, we didn't actually talk very much. It was very nice. She was very quiet for the most part.
You know, we got a lot of emails about that. And the best one I got was from a friend of the show who I will not identify, who said that his trick is that for almost a decade, he has not gone to a barbershop where anybody speaks English.
That's smart.
And so he just goes someplace where it's all in Spanish, and
even if it's English as a second language, they'll still talk a lot of times.
I'm always worried that they're talking about me, though. I don't want that.
That's Seinfeldian. in the nail salon of George's father. They're talking about him.
So haircut was great. We did get a suggestion from one of our listeners to Shark Tank this. Figure out if we're going to try and make a business out of this. I think it would work. We want a barbershop where nobody talks to you. You just get your hair cut, get out of there.
And
no tips.
Tipping.
And no tips.
Well, here's the awkward thing for me. Like, you have a favorite barber, a go-to guy or girl when you walk in, and sometimes that person is busy.
Oh, right. And this is why I can take you right now.
Yes. And there's a split moment of.
And so you must think, well, one of these people is going to not vote for me then. What do you do when that happens to you? What is your move?
Okay, a lot of times I try not to have any eye contact, just wave and go right in the back, like just pretend that, you know, go and sit in front of the chair like, hey, how are you? Boom, don't linger. But yesterday I panicked. I was coming home from work. I lingered, and then I just got locked in with, hey, and he was sitting there bored, and I never went to this guy. And then next thing you know, he's talking to me about guns.
Got a haircut from Steven Gutowski.
The exact opposite. But of course, he also he's using the straight edge. And, you know, and so it's like, absolutely. Whatever you say, you know, when he's, you know, the straight. Yeah. I mean, come on. You know, I don't want to get nicked. So that was it. Anyway.
So you got a haircut, too.
So
I can't actually tell.
I know. So I'm a number two clip.
I
did fine. But I mean, I'm not a fussy, you know, in terms of my needs are like yours. You know, it's just like, give me the. A little bit more on top, though. I like a little bit more on top than you do. Okay. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you, Sonny.
Yes. What's going on in your
A mildly world. Embarrassing thing happened to me on Monday. I was going to a lunch with our colleague, Aaron Kliegman, and we were meeting our friends from Taiwan, and we were at the Prime Rib. So we go in. And it's a great restaurant. I go in.
What was the average age of the customers?
About 70. And there's only like three tables filled. And in fact,
did you get the liver?
What? No, I almost did. In fact, Aaron got the liver. I got the London broil because you almost never see that on a menu anywhere. So I was curious. How do they do it? And the answer is very thinly cut and medium rare. It's the only way, right? For a London broil.
That place.
Hence, it was cheap.
Is a steakhouse from like the 1915s.
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I walk in. But as soon as I walked in, I see these two Asian guys having lunch. I went immediately over and said, hey, how are you? And then as I got close, I realized it wasn't them.
Oh.
It was different two Asian men.
And you Filipinos can't tell anybody apart,
I know.
Right?
And so, number one, okay, embarrassing. And I just sort of stopped and I just kept on going. So I just walked past them after I did the wave, and I just said, "Oh, let's
Where
go."
Where did you wind up? And, like, in the kitchen?
And of course our table was two tables over, like in a corner, so I can stare at them the entire time. And I mean, and they were clearly not Taiwanese, or they, I think that 99% sure they were Japanese. And they just looked at me, and then they went back to eating. And then the worst part is our friends do show up, and then they're like, "Oh, I see what happened," because we're like the only ones at the dining room.
I'm sure they won't hold a grudge about that.
Thank God it was you and not your round-eyed colleague.
No. In fact, Kliegman was laughing his ass off. No,
because if it had been him who made this mistake, you have cover.
So that was really funny. And I said, okay, don't say anything to anybody. I'll save it for the show. But, you know, this has happened to me, so I can, you know, turn it around. I mean, do you remember JVL on one of
this
the...
This has happened to you before?
Oh, plenty of times. This? No.
On the other end.
On the Weekly Standard Cruise. Weekly Standard Cruise down in the Caribbean. I get in the elevator for the dinner service, as you know, like whatever time it is, where you have to show up, and it's packed because everybody goes to like the 6 or the 8, whatever it is, and we're packed. And I waved to some of our fellow cruisers, and the woman says, "Oh, you were so fantastic last night, you know, at the show." and I go, immediately I hear the husband, like, I see him, like, you know, elbowing her. He's like, it's not him. And I said, oh, okay. And I just smiled, and I thought, oh,
better that than thank you for taking care of our cabin this
morning. Well, that's, you know, if it wasn't that, it's the other one. And I turned around to the lady, and I just said, wait a minute. Do you think I, and she was very embarrassed, but we made the whole elevator laughed, you know. And then another
Vic won casual five racism.
Vic won 5 votes that day.
I'll take it.
By
jujitsuing this awkward moment into a communal bit of laughter.
One of the first times I remember, I was having lunch in Tom's River at a Chinese buffet, of course, called Golden Gate. And
Golden Gate.
It was very nice. It's less is more, right? It wasn't a big buffet, but it's like 6 different things, but they're all good. Because
I almost prefer that style of buffet.
Yeah, because otherwise, how good can it be when there's 20 or 30 things, right? When was the last time they checked on it? So I go up there, and this old white man says to me, "Oh, they let you out for lunch break, huh?"
Wow.
Yeah. And I just said, yeah, they do. You know, let me out of my cage. Let me out of my cage next to the dogs. But, I should have, I should have told him to try the ghost peppers. I said, you should try ghost peppers. It's really good for you. You know, maybe I'll get anaphylactic shock. Or maybe he'd be breathing fire. Speaking of breathing fire, over the weekend, that Godzilla, King of the Monsters, took the top spot at the box office with $47 million. Followed by Aladdin at $42 million, and bringing up the rear was Rocket Man with $25 million. Enjoy it now because it's in third place.
No, it's holding. It's going to hold very well.
I think it will hold well.
I'm going to see it this weekend. Godzilla, is that good or bad for Godzilla and the franchise?
Bad.
That's
a bad number.
Huge decline, coming from a huge decline.
Yeah, it's less than the first Godzilla movie or the 2014 Godzilla movie. It's less than Kong Skull Island. If I were the studio, I would be very nervous because they have already shot.
They only have
Kong
one more
Godzilla. So,
well, I knew that was going to be.
This is
next
a small
one.
Universe they've built. It's a 4-film universe.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds about right. But if I'm the studio, I'm looking at these numbers and I'm not thrilled. I'll put it that way. What is interesting is that Aladdin has already passed Godzilla on the daily numbers. It had better grosses Monday and Tuesday.
Because it's an amazing cinematic achievement.
It is. Well, I mean, it's much better than Godzilla, obviously, because it's got the
pronounced Gojira.
Guy Ritchie doing his thing.
Hey, you just did like running in
little
place,
running in place, yeah.
Little with your
just
hands.
Just little. It's too bad we don't have the Facebook video.
That would have been amazing.
They would have seen me do it.
I really like that.
I don't have a ton of thoughts on this other than it's obviously disappointing and. The studio must be annoyed.
Were you surprised? Were you surprised at the numbers?
Yeah, because, a little bit.
Because I would think that this is going to be good. It's got
tracking. It's been tracking poorly the whole time. There's a reason they've put out like 17 trailers and commercials for this movie. Is because the awareness is high and the interest is low. And that is always a bad, that's always a really bad combination. I mean, I don't think it's going to be, I am very curious to see what the X-Men numbers are like this weekend, because that could be a disaster. I mean, that could be like a
$30 million
a $30 million opening.
Yeah.
When did they
You know why?
Because it's terrible.
No. No.
Well, it is.
Why JVL?
Because this culture in this country is afraid of powerful women.
Accurate. Accurate. Did you know?
I thought you were going to say they're afraid of Bryan Singer.
Did you see the clip where Jennifer Lawrence playing Mysterio says, "This should be called X-Women because they were always saving the men." It's the worst. Really? It's the worst, like, tacked on.
And which is crazy because it's Jennifer Lawrence and she's really good.
You know, it's funny. A guy on Twitter who has an locked account, so I won't say who it is, noted that Jennifer Lawrence is much, much worse as Mystique in these movies than Rebecca Romaine Stamos was. Like,
wow.
I would say by a significant margin. I think Rebecca Romaine Stamos is much better in this role. She's asked to do less. It's a smaller role, but she has the physicality down pat in a way that Jennifer Lawrence has kind of like sleptwalked through this whole series. I don't think much of her in these movies. And I like Jennifer Lawrence.
I guess she's mailing
it in, I
guess.
I agree with that. I think these movies, actually, Mystique is the central character of it. Everything revolves around her.
Yeah,
because she is the sort of swing. She's the audience stand-in, and we identify with her. Everything is about the temptation of Mystique. Will she go one way, or will she go another way?
When does this take place?
I think she does all that very well.
1992. Okay. I just have to disagree with you on that. Yeah. I just don't think she's. I don't think she's that good. I think the character design has also taken a step backwards. So the last couple of movies, Jennifer Lawrence hasn't wanted to do like the full body makeup stuff. So she wears like
the full
suit. Mask almost. Oh. It's like the
she isn't as tired of being objectified.
Well, obviously.
It's funny you say it takes place in 1992. I figure that's when they stopped principal photography was in 1992, and they've been running trailers for the last 20 years.
I think it was 1992. When was X-Men Apocalypse? That was in the 80s, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Because there's a scene where Return to the Jedi. Hold on.
Do you remember that? That movie was...
Do you have any desire to see Dark Phoenix?
Sure. I mean, I don't know. You know, like morbid curiosity.
Sonny.
X-Men Apocalypse opened to $65 million. It did not open poorly. It grossed $155 domestic. It grossed $540 million worldwide.
How did that movie do $155 domestic?
It's a great question because it's terrible. It's legitimately one of the worst movies.
So I suspect that
had to review
that Dark Phoenix is going to, in addition to being, from what we can tell, maybe kind of a troubled production.
It was, they reshot the whole end of the film.
It is going to suffer for the sins of Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it is universally loathed. Nobody likes that movie. It's bad.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk. I mean, we can talk about it a little bit next week. I think we're going to talk about Rocket Man for the episode next week.
I believe
so. But I've reviewed.
Assuming
Dark Phoenix, my review will be up tomorrow at the Free Beacon. It is not.
Not
is
Rocket not Man. You're not.
I still have not reviewed Rocket. Yeah. I still haven't seen Rocket Man. I got to go see it.
Well, I hope Dark Phoenix is around next weekend. If it's still in theaters, we'll see it. So, Sonny, you did see Godzilla as well.
I did see Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
How about a big boy review?
Here's the thing about Godzilla, King of the Monsters. It's a movie with big monsters punching each other. So
Then Sado says, "Let them fight," and Rodan come in. Mothra and Godzilla almost did it.
Please, Sonny, your official review, please.
It's got monsters punching each other. This is legitimately, this is the only thing that the movie had to do.
Do they punch each other real hard?
They punch each other real hard. They knock down some buildings. There's some nuclear explosions. And then the monsters all bow to Godzilla at the end. Spoiler alert. He is, in fact, King of the Monsters.
Did they say that in the title? Godzilla, King of the... But and then it turns out he is...
He is actually King of the Monsters.
Because they bow.
Because they bow to him at the end of the film.
If you weren't sure, when Muto's bowed, when Muto they, bowed, oh, okay.
Godzilla stands in the, have you seen the movie, JBL?
I, in fact, did see it.
So you remember the scene at the end? Where the shot at the end where Godzilla's kind of standing in the middle and all
Rodan
the other Mutos
actually
come.
Curtsies.
He actually bows.
No, like Rodan actually, yeah. Literally he like,
he
spreads
his
wings
his head.
And dips.
End scene, he said.
So look, do I really need to get into the plot? Which is actually pretty great. It has these awful eco-terrorists and
yes.
environmentalists.
It's the one
once
thing
again,
about it.
Once again, the true villains. In this world, environmentalists, they're trying to kill us all.
This is much more complicated than you think. We should have
are you gonna get into the whole these represent the forces of nature that we are unleashing upon ourselves?
Did you stay for the credits?
I sat through the credits.
How closely did you watch the credits?
I didn't really watch I didn't read all the headlines. Is it all about the?
You know, I don't want to interrupt, but I have a long digression for us to talk about.
Well, you can start because I'm already kind of bored talking about the movie. I liked it fine.
But
I actually liked
it.
I actually enjoyed it because it is as far as big spectacle goes, yeah. It is perfectly acceptable. Mm-hmm. I had a fine time. It's great.
Victorino.
Yes,
I know.
Oh.
Yeah. I know what you liked best about this movie.
I'm so scared. Okay, go ahead.
Your favorite thing about this movie was the giant bat wing style flying fortress, super like stealth city in the sky that also can maneuver like a fighter.
Yes, yes. The B2 on steroids. Really? It was kind of Avengers-like. It was kind of S.H.I.E.L.D.-like.
I'm sure.
I was fascinated. I was fascinated by it. It seemed to be sort of like if Earth is gone, they can all live there, right? When
and
that
yet,
happens,
you can run from the cockpit to the cargo hold where the cargo doors are in
2 seconds,
3 seconds, because it's right behind. Mm-hmm. It's just,
no, that is exactly right. One of the
did
things.
Did anybody
I,
else see this?
Well, not Godzilla. But that was one of the things, and it's like, how do you get from, you know, point A to point B so quickly, you know? Speaking of which, getting from point A to point B means spending more time waiting than moving. If you're sick of waiting to get where you're going, let Boosted give you a lift. Boosted's vehicle-grade electric skateboards and scooters are the modern solution to your transportation woes. With a 22-mile range and max speeds of 24 miles per hour, Boosted is perfect for both running to the store and traveling across town. Designed to provide a luxurious experience, it's no wonder that Boosted was one of Time Magazine's best inventions of 2018. With 5 options to pick from, including their new scooter, the Boosted Rev, there's a personal electric vehicle that's tailor-made for you. Starting at $61 a month with financing, there's no better time to change how you move than now. And Sonny, you know this, we have the Boosted here in the office, and a lot of our youngins in the office...
The children,
they loved Boosted, and they took the scooter out to our abandoned warehouse next door, and they were going nuts. And even those, there were some who, it was like their first time, and they got the hang of it, and they felt comfortable. And others, you could tell, were pros that they skate all the time, or they were skate rats when they were kids.
Well, it's a longboard, so it's not hard to stay on.
No,
it's not like one of the, it's not a Tony Hawk, you know, style thing, and they're not doing ollies off it.
Very good. And they're going backwards. You can go forward. You can go in reverse and going pretty fast, like I said, 24 miles per hour. Right now, Boosted is offering our listeners $75 off the purchase of an electric vehicle when you use the code BEACON at checkout. Go to boostedboards.com and use the code BEACON at checkout to get $75 off your vehicle. That's boostedboards.com, promo code BEACON at checkout for $75 off. JVL, what did you think of Godzilla, King of the Monsters?
Wait, what did the audience surrogate think? What's your grade, Vic?
Wait, hold on, no. Okay. Guess what do you think his grade is?
B minus.
Wow, B. Okay. Yeah, but a low B, almost a B minus. Okay. There's only so much.
Really?
There's only so much of giant CGI monsters fighting. It's just not doing it for me. I much prefer something on the more human level, like John Wick. I think that had my attention much more than the giant monsters. Also, I didn't know Mothra was good. I always thought Mothra was bad.
Mothra is always good.
Mothra is.
Because I don't like moths. They're furry and they have claws. I mean, moths are terrible. Silence of the Lambs. Okay. So that's what I went.
Like, I don't even know you anymore.
Yeah, who knows what I'm going to be grading next? But I went with my son and my nephew, and they both were kind of like, nah, you know. I mean, it's no end game, you know. So anyway, go ahead, JVL.
There is a single moment in this movie which stood out to me, and it was when the little girl. The tween girl, whatever her name is, Maddie
Millie Bobby Brown. I have no idea what her character name is, and I don't care. I don't think
it's Madison.
Doesn't matter.
Of course. But anyway, it is.
She's 11. She is, 11 from Stranger Things.
Thank you.
She is leaving the underground bunker with the eco-terrorists and making her way, coming up over the little, there's a little rise there. That 4-second scene is shot in the actual real world. And it stands out from the entire rest of the production in ways that are not good.
I'm sorry. You mean the shot where she's coming like out of the tunnel, out of like the sewer tunnel, and she sees all of Boston?
Well, no, before she gets over that rise, she sort of stumbles up over a little rise of like green, and that is like shot on location, and you could tell. It really emphasizes, I would say, in a way that before that, the rest of it, you're like, oh, hey, this is all green screen work, but it's okay. It's not bad green screen work. All of a sudden, that was a lived-in moment, and it made you realize how hollow the rest of the movie is.
But there were other scenes that they filmed that were not green screen. The island with the volcano that erupted.
When they're underwater, that underwater city.
Oh,
Atlantis. That was on location. Yeah, they actually went to Atlantis.
So there was an air pocket.
I've seen a documentary about this. They're clearly in Atlantis.
So there are things to like about it. I agree in general about the idea of spectacle. I really like the wild use of the Osprey as a conveyance, which can go thousands and thousands of miles without refueling, even though it's a propeller-driven aircraft.
They refuel in the big mothership.
And can fly into Antarctica in the winter.
Yeah, right.
Quickly.
I don't see what your
problem. Quickly, too.
I don't understand what the problem here is.
The truth, like the flying city thing, it was great. It was great. That giant bat wing thing.
Yes.
But this is a movie that doesn't have the courage of its own convictions. Mm-hmm. And I think you see this at every level. One of which is the shifting scale of things. Mm-hmm. Like this is a thing that happens where you see the scale of King Ghidorah in the ice is different from the scale of King Ghidorah in the wild. The scale of how large the city in the sky aircraft B-1 bomber is. It just changes. Like, they don't have a constant conception of, like, how large is this thing? Mm-hmm. And they maintain it across the film. The eco-terrorists.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to get your
had you paid attention to the end.
Okay.
In the end, we are given what is essentially a long and I think very poorly constructed tease for Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yes.
By the way, incredibly poorly.
And when that happens, you won't have any scale problems with King Kong and Godzilla.
You mean the bit at the end with Charles Dance?
No, I mean when they're showing you all of
the headlines.
Oh, you mean the headlines. Yes. Yeah, and, no, I stopped trying to read them because they were going by.
Very badly.
They were very fast, but it was a lot of news.
But there's a lot of news. Some of it is about King Kong and about the monsters all coming to Skull Island. And a lot of it was a reinforcement that the eco-terrorists were, in fact, right.
Well, of course. No, this movie is very...
This is what I'm saying. So we have the eco-terrorists. Yeah. So on the one hand, you have you see that these people are crazy, but then the movie can't stick with that. And at the instead of keeping the mom as the be crazy thing, which is kind of what they were doing at, which was a little, but that's a term of art. That's a cinematic. Like the feminists are really upset about that.
Marking it down anyway.
I don't know that we can say that. I don't know.
Okay. Well, that is what they do with the mother figure, right? Yeah, yeah. They turn her into
Vera Farmiga.
Vera Farmiga. And but they can't stay with that. They redeem her in the end on the thinnest of pretexts. And then in the coda with all the headlines, it turns out that these things are bringing the planet back to balance. They're using, one of them is like Monster Stool, turns out to be a gigantic energy source.
Yes, I saw that.
Another is that, you know, rainforests blooming in the middle of the desert after whoever walks through it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the movie just doesn't, like, you know, so which is it? What you're going to do? And even when they do the monsters punching each other so hard, Bruce, just their punch, I punch them hard, they will often then cut, you really want to see what's just about to happen, and they then cut and bring you down to the worm's eye levels on Treat Williams or whatever that idiot, the lead of this movie.
Kyle Chandler.
You don't like Coach?
Yeah, Friday Night Lights.
That guy.
Friday Night Lights.
That guy.
Zero Dark Thirty.
Is a TV actor
in
a big screen movie.
Oh, no. Boo. I like Kyle Chandler.
And you know what? Great. He is surrounded by genuine acting talent, like Ken Watanabe and Brad Whitford.
We would be his.
Oh, Bradley Whitford is a TV actor.
Oh, totally.
Bradley Whitford is a...
You have it reversed. Bradley versus
wrong.
Kyle. Absolutely. He's West Wing.
Fantastic character actor.
Fantastic character actor. He's fine in this movie where he's asked to do one thing, be kind of a smarmy dick. It's fine. He's good at it.
How about Zhang Ziyi? What did you think about Zhang Ziyi?
You know what I thought? Here's what I thought about both she and Brad Whitford. Time is turning all of us into monsters.
Wow. She looked fine.
No, she looks like a middle-aged
mom. She looks like she hasn't changed.
She looks like she's like a 40-year-old mom. And Brad Whitford looks like a grandpa. And like it's all very disconcerting.
Yeah, more jowl.
But one more place where they don't have the courage of their convictions is none of the monsters die except for King Ghidorah. So we're shown Mothra killing Rodan.
Yeah,
and he
came back.
Right?
Right.
And then Rodan comes back.
Well,
we're shown Godzilla
Mothra
dying.
Dies. Doesn't Mothra die?
Well, but they just grew one. Why can't they grow one? Right? Is Mothra dead?
I don't know. I assume Mothra's going to come back.
So this is what I'm saying.
They always come back.
The movie doesn't want to, like, it moves in a direction on something, and then it just doesn't want to stick. It then pulls its punch. And it could have been better. Do you disagree?
I mean, you are asking for an intellectualization this movie that I don't think is necessarily.
No, I'm saying time with the monster punching and less time with Treat Williams from TV running around.
Treat Williams.
Show Coach respect.
That moment on the submarine when the sub captain comes in and says, "We've got an even bigger problem. The whatever vortex from the Hollow Earth damaged the doors, and we can't launch the missile."
Oh, right.
That is the most TV line device. Read I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I agree that there's a lot of very mediocre acting in this. That's fine. It's funny, you know, we're talking about the intellectualization of this. It is worth considering the ways in which Godzilla has changed over the year. I mean, the original Godzilla, I watched it recently. I wrote a piece about this for the Post, but the original Godzilla is very much a movie about fear of nuclear annihilation.
The original Godzilla from
1954, the 1954 Toho Studios.
Yes,
Gojira.
Yeah, no kidding.
It is a movie about
a movie of ideas.
It is a movie about a society that is terrified of being eliminated in nuclear fire, and you see that in everything from the discussion of the way the original movie has like this actually weirdly ripped from the headlines quality to it. There was a Japanese fishing ship that wandered into the fallout zone of the Bikini Atoll when they were doing H-bomb testing, and the guys got sick. I think one of them died. And so this was 10 years after, you know, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and people were freaking out. They're like, we're going to be living with this forever. And so a similar scene opens the original Godzilla. Godzilla comes up out of the water, destroys a fishing vessel, and then destroys a bunch of other fishing vessels, because he has been awakened by the H-bomb testing. So there is this kind of undercurrent, or like, frankly, just current of nuclear paranoia in the film that is totally justifiable on the behalf of the Japanese, you know, and and the movie itself, the destruction, the firestorm scenes in Tokyo are, again, like, it is a movie about people who are terrified they're going to die at any time. And that has almost been inverted in these last two films, the 2014 Gareth Edwards one and this one, to the point that Godzilla is often shown as essentially a tool of the American military, or at least a partner with the American military. There's a great shot in the 2014
Ken Watanabe has a feeling that he's on their side.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a 2014 in the 2014 one. There's this great shot that we see from a top down view of Godzilla swimming in the water with like the American Navy flanked around, like a carrier fleet,
task force, yeah,
whatever they call it, whatever the proper name for a U.S. task force is, just swimming around, like on the water around him. Godzilla's swimming in the water. The ships are on the sides around him, and they're all going off to fight the Mutos that have attacked San Francisco. And then in this movie, there's literally a scene where Coach from TV says, no, it's not Coach. Who is it that says, this time we join the fight? Is it Coach? I can't remember.
It wasn't
this,
Ken,
this
wasn't
time
Ken
we're
going to
fight with him. Uh-huh. No, I think Ken Watanabe is dead at this point.
This time we fight.
But speaking of Ken Watanabe, how do they get Godzilla back in the fight? They blow up a nuke next to him. They like nuclear
charging
a
battery.
A nuclear weapon is a power of salvation in this film. I mean, it is like it is literally an inversion of the original. Now, look, I mean, Godzilla almost ever since the original film came out, Godzilla has been a good guy in various forms, fighting to defeat other Mutos, fighting to protect the people of Japan. There's a great special feature on the Criterion disc where a Japanese critic talks about how the people of Japan cottoned to the idea of Godzilla almost immediately, that he was like, he became a mascot of sorts. He was a plush doll, you know,
destroying cities.
Right, right. Exactly. I mean, it's like, there's this very weird tension there that needs to be examined.
Criterion, Sonny, Criterion of which Godzilla?
So there's a Criterion disc of the original Godzilla, mm-hmm. the 1954 one. Oh. And the Criterion channel actually has a bunch of the Godzilla movies. So it has the original 1954 with all the special features and everything. But also they have like Godzilla versus Rodan, they have a bunch of like...
How about Godzilla with Matthew Broderick? Is that on the Criterion?
That is not in the, that is not in the Criterion.
Amazing performances in that movie, let me tell you.
So anyway, I am not opposed to intellectualizing this exactly. I wish I had paid more attention to the end credits, so I could have seen what exactly they were doing there. Because I'm actually okay with making the environmentalists the good guy, or the good bad guys here. It's like it is just further proof that this is the only thing Hollywood knows how to do, is as like relatable bad guys, right? Is the environmentalists.
Interstellar, Matt Damon, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't feel like I'm asking for
intellectualization, though. Like, I just wanted a more competent movie made. I mean, I would love it to have been a war. I would love to have an intellectualized Godzilla, mm-hmm. frankly. I think that would be awesome. I would also be okay with a Godzilla that lets us live. Just dispenses with the human element and lets us live just with the monsters, you know, like have the people running around on the street and pointing, oh no, Gojira, and that would be fine with me.
What if we had like a Mel Gibson Apocalypto Godzilla movie that is just from the perspective of like a little baby Godzilla?
Gadzuki.
There
you go, Gadzuki.
Were you guys into Godzilla growing up?
It was on ready for this, JVL was
29?
On? Yes!
Channel 29.
Yes, Channel 29 in Philly on like Saturday or Sunday.
Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, no, and they would run the whole thing.
They would run all the different Godzillas. There was a
29 had so many good scale shows.
Godzilla figure. I don't know if you remember this.
I did, with a fist.
That shot off,
the
right?
Shot off the end. So it was like also the tongue.
Yes.
Is a little
yes.
But the switch always broke.
Did you have that?
Yes, I had.
The doctor's kid had the giant Godzilla
versus,
with the shootable fist.
Versus Shogun Warrior. Yeah, because you can get different Shogun Warriors. And I had, well, the one that was popular was Great Mazinga, which apparently in the Philippines when I went there as a kid was called Mazinga Z. But Great Mazinga, and he could fire off missiles from his hand.
Did they ever cross over Godzilla and Shogun Warriors? Because
you would
that,
think because they were the same company.
Ultraman. I think there was a Godzilla Ultraman.
There is a, right? And that is on the Criterion Channel. If you have the Criterion Channel, it's,
that's good. It's right up there with like Battle of the Planets. You know, when these giant gods, robot type gods, come down or something like that. And that was also on Channel 29.
Yeah, I thought this movie
Godzilla versus Megalon.
Okay.
Yep. I don't know what Megalon is.
I thought King of the Monsters was lazy in a lot of places. You know, there were just things where we're given exposition that we don't need to be given. For instance, she's the queen of the monsters. I feel like he's on our side. I'm pretty sure he's one of the bad monsters.
You're like, yeah.
Why? Yeah. How are all these people with their feelings about the monsters? Like, what?
I appreciate it because, you know, I don't know what's going on half the time.
Preferred it.
The audience surrogate needs it.
I would have preferred it if they had been confused and watching. You know, you don't tell us who the good. Let us just watch find out who the good monster. We should be as surprised as the characters on the screen.
Yeah.
No.
I didn't mind that so much because my expectations were very low for this movie. There is a weird visual incoherence to the film. A friend of mine, Alan Zilberman, was like almost livid. He was like shaking with anger beside me because there's, you remember the shot in the movie, they're in Antarctica and Ghidorah eats the lady from The Shape of Water.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't really see it happen.
No, I'm sorry. He eats the lady from Layer Cake.
Eats the lady from...
Yes.
Was she in Layer Cake? I don't
know. She's the girlfriend, the mouthy girlfriend of the Duke in Layer Cake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The only...
Different actress, though? Yeah. Same actress.
No, same actress.
The only woman from Layer Cake I remember is Sienna Miller.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the...
Factory girl.
There's this shot where she's eaten, and I like actually thought to myself, wait, did she just get eaten? I can't quite tell.
I didn't even notice that.
And like 20 seconds later, Ken Watanabe is looking at like a tablet with her picture that says deceased under it because she had no idea what's going on in the movie.
No, this happens all the time.
That was crazy.
The pilots, the little tablets with showed all the airplane pilots. That
yeah, the like in the Independence Day.
Aliens
shot.
Yeah. Where because Rodan can fly faster than an F-22.
Well,
Once he gets going.
He was flying fast enough to destroy the city with the wake of his, you know.
But that's just because he has fire coming at it.
No, but that was like a shockwave.
No, no, he trails fiery wind behind him.
He's sucking people out of the air in like a
vortex.
Like a vortex.
A vortex. It's also part of his magical fire. I did find myself at certain points early in the movie wondering how many calories per day these creatures would have to eat to sustain bodies with that level of mass and those sorts of expenditures of energy. But then we never really see them eating except for the,
that moment.
You know what I like? Yeah. When King Ghidorah chomps the electrical power substation and then flaps the wings out and shoots the lightning. That was a wonderful image.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it looked cool on screen.
I would say this film is low on great images like that. Did you watch? Mm. So like I watched.
It was low on iconic images.
I watched bits and pieces of the Gareth Edwards one, the 2014 one, and that great Halo jump where they're coming out of the sky with like the flares trailing behind them, and the camera is pulled back to like I don't know, 5 miles away, and you can just see the like trails of the flares coming down. There's nothing that even approaches that level of competence in this film.
No, it's not an especially well-made. This is what I was trying to get at when I said it wouldn't commit to
things. I totally agree with you that this is not a great movie. My expectations were just very low for it, and it met those low expectations. So
I did like that the eco-terrorists all had uniforms.
Yes. Well, you gotta.
They were not just like a ragtag group of rebels. They had their own
paramilitary.
Yeah, it was like a. It was. I mean, that guy's what? He's supposed to be a British Special Forces guy.
Apparently,
Charles Dance.
Apparently, people thought that Charles Dance's character was supposed to be Tom Hiddleston's character from Kong Skull Island.
Oh,
because he was also British Special Forces. There was some talk whether he had gone full rogue.
Oh,
pro Muto, but I don't. I think they're different.
Different people. It's Tywin
Victorino.
That would have actually been interesting. That would have been an interesting thing they could have done with this movie.
With more of an overarching thing.
Victorino.
Yes, JVL.
On the question of should we kill the Mutos or let the Mutos out, where would you have fallen?
I don't know. I guess kill them. I don't know. I mean, it's, and I wanted to see more of Muto, but it turns out Muto in this movie was like Natalie Portman in Avengers Endgame. It was a very brief cameo. Did you notice? It was just
Muto is just the name.
Muto is the generic name, but like,
but what, you know, the one
about. The like spider one from the first film. He's barely in it.
Yeah, no, but
there's like the weird mastodon one.
Yes,
but
what about that?
No, but it's like I actually like that creature design because he looks like a mastodon but moves like a gorilla.
Yeah.
Mm.
So the front legs are actually like arms. Like, and so he's moving it. Okay. Yeah, I thought that was kind
of interesting. I mean, but
the turtle from the trailers.
The turtle.
Gone. What is the name of the turtle
Gamora?
Character?
Gamora? Something like that?
I don't know. It's not Ghidorah.
Might be Gamora. Yeah, who's also a good in the Godzilla movie.
So that was in the trailer, and what
he's
happened?
He's not there. There were a couple creatures who were in the trailers and didn't make the final cut.
But one of the big questions I had is, of course, they're among us, but then they produce so much waste. But again, as you mentioned, thank God.
Turns out to be a giant energy source.
Oh, no, give me that, some of that monster poop. That's great. What about the radiation? I have a lot of concerns. Is basically, did Boston turn into Chernobyl? Is that what happens there? Because he's radiating. That's his energy, isn't it? That pure radiation?
And San Francisco and Las Vegas are also like abandoned, right? And this, there's that shot. There's a shot in the film where the eco-terrorists are talking about the regeneration.
Yeah, it's great. Look how much better San Francisco is without people making billions and billions of dollars to power the U.S. economy. Yeah. It's much better with plants.
Less poop on the streets.
And making less billions and billions. Yeah, and
fewer AIDS needles on the ground.
Less overpopulation. As you know, that was Vera Farmiga's concern, Jay Vale, was the overpopulation.
Somebody should write a book about how overpopulation isn't
I heard
really
somewhere,
that big a deal.
I heard somewhere, not actually happening.
The whole thing was fine, I guess. I would have gone lower than B-. I would have gone to like C.
Yeah.
Maybe C minus.
I gave it a B. I gave it 2.5 stars out
of
4.
Yeah, that's right. Two is two. What is a B is the 3, right? 3.0 is a B. okay. Do you have any no monster rankings, anything like that? No, you're fine.
Ooh.
Do you have a monster ranking? I don't have a monster ranking.
You know, Victorino, let me ask you to do this, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to rank of that subspecies of like Japanese low budget type characters from our youth, I would actually go Shogun Warriors 1, Godzilla 2, and then Ultraman 3.
Yeah, I could agree with
were
that.
Would you do absolutely.
Oh, you
do the same? I'd love me some Ultraman.
But you know, and again, if you go back. And you can see it on YouTube, this other show called, Battle of the Planets. Was it Battle of the Planets? No, Battle of the Planets is different. That's with G-Force. But the one I was just talking about, and I can't even remember, with Goldar and Silvar, and it's great. Just type in Goldar, Silvar, and there you go.
I will effort that.
Okay. In terms of what happened to Mechagodzilla, is that going to come out in the future?
There's clearly going to be a Mechagodora, right?
Are you pro Mechagodzilla?
Yeah.
More than Godzilla? Give me a greater sign, Godzilla.
Yeah, greater sign, Godzilla. Fine. I'll take the bait.
you're pro
Mecha. I think Mecha. That's crazy stuff.
The space giants.
Space Goldar giants. Thank you. All right. Yeah, space giants. Okay, good. All right. We can move on.
Let's move on.
Any other thoughts?
No, more.
We're good. This is going to be a short episode. Okay. Corrections, additions, shout outs. I've got two. One, I made a joke last week about how there were no Cubans in Scarface, and listener John Papavaridis says Stephen Bauer, who played Manny, is in fact Cuban. He had changed his name. He was born Esteban Ernesto Echevarria, and right. Bauer is his mother's maiden name. I thought he was Israeli because he was in an HBO movie called A Sword of Gideon, which was about Munich before Spielberg's Munich, after the 72. So anyway, that's Stephen Bauer. And he's still alive. And Stephen Bauer was also in Breaking Bad. He's the drug lord who gets killed and they all get poisoned in the swimming pool or something like that. I don't know. I just watch clips on YouTube. And also, finally, a big shout out to listener Carmela Nicole, a Rogue Sharknado, for sending us Grippos, the premier potato chip of Cincinnati since 1919. I told Carmela, or maybe she goes by Carm, I would, that we never had
she Grippos. She goes by Shark.
By Shark.
You refer to her as Miss Shark. Oh, yeah,
Miss Shark. Miss Shark. I said,
show some respect for the shark.
This was because somebody was talking about a chip ranking. And then she, you know, said that Grippos are the best. I said, I've never had Grippos from Cincinnati. So how would I know or how would we know? So sure enough, she sent them over. And here we go. Ready for this?
Chip test.
Give me one. I can have one chip. How many carbs could there be in one chip?
17.
How much for one chip? How much for one chip?
How much for one rib? That's fantastic. And I love barbecue spice. Sonny, you do not like barbecue potato chips.
No, barbecue potato chips are trash. They're the trash.
Holy God.
Yeah, I know.
These are the best barbecue chips I've ever had in my life.
It's like a meal in itself. I don't even need anything that... Oh, wow. And there's an after.
I bow down before the shark. You're 100% right.
The heat comes after. There's sweetness and heat. And the heat comes after.
So wait, I'm sorry. Shark, they also... Grippos also makes cheese popcorn, Shark.
Oh, man. There you go.
I'm sitting right here, Carmela.
So...
Sitting right here.
Also, so I mean, we never had it, and she sent it over. So thank you so much. They're delicious. And also, in case anyone out there of our listeners, I don't know which is better, beluga or etc. caviar. So if you want to send over a tin from the Caspian Sea or the Black Sea, I don't know which is better. Send it over. Okay. And I have to turn my fingers are all covered in this barbecue dust. Excuse me.
Boy, that's really good.
It's delicious. That's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments, tweet us at Victorino Mattis at Sunny Bunch. You're sure you're still out? You're not out there. Okay, just checking.
No. 100% no.
Okay.
It's so great. Again, you guys should get off Twitter, too.
But you have handlers that use you appear, and people
know
think
what I
you're
do?
Around.
I just give out my Twitter login credentials to anybody who asks for it. And so, like, literally, if something pops up in my Twitter time, it could be anything.
But you don't look. You're not looking. You're not. I bet life is better.
It's so much better. Okay. Why don't you try it?
When I get up to your number of followers in 20 years, I'll quit. Okay. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. Just type in Subbeacon on a podcast. We're there. Leave a review. Tell your friends. Until next time. We forgot to mention 75th anniversary of D-Day, so.
Hey, guys.
Salute
how you doing?
Salute to the troops.
Yeah, okay, the troops. Sure.
What are you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Oh, look at this. A new watch.
Oh.
We saved it just in
time. Oh, yeah, I guess I'm wearing it today. I didn't
realize
it.
I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's fine.